Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for this good day. It's a Lord's Day. It's the best day of the week. And Father, these folks have come out in a snowstorm and in cold. When others are staying huddled in, they've ventured out. Some have come quite a distance to be here today because they wanted to be in church. They wanted to honor you. They wanted to sing your praises. They wanted to hear from your word. They wanted to worship you in spirit and truth. And so, Father, I pray you'd bring us a blessing this morning that by your Holy Spirit, you would open your servant's lips to speak and the heart of every person to receive the word of God. I pray you'd reach out even through the live stream and radio and minister as well. We just pray, Father, that you might do all things to your own good pleasing, that you might be glorified, your people might be edified, Jesus might be magnified, sinners might be saved. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that I've often turned to this portion of Scripture, and I do so again this morning. It is a remarkable passage for several reasons. Number one, it's remarkable candor. Here's the personal testimony of the great Apostle Paul. And as we read it, we all so identify with it. What candor? It's remarkable because of its truth, because this is the way it really is. Sometimes we like to paint a better picture than actual reality is, don't we? And we like to feign ourselves to be something we're not. And it's also remarkable because of its application. This is to all of us. We all identify with it. And Paul mentions the sinful nature of mankind that abides in everyone and in every believer until the day of redemption. Look at verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me. 1 John chapter 1 agrees, where John wrote this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. None of us are exempt from the battle that's described in this passage of Scripture. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said a similar thing. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Do you ever find yourself there? Do you ever want to kick yourself for something you did that you know you shouldn't have done? And then did you ever want to kick yourself because you should have done something and you didn't? We've all been there. And what I want to look at this morning is verse 19, where Paul says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. We find two categories of sin in this one verse. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. All Bible-believing Christians will have to admit to this truth. Not only because we had a sin nature before we were saved, but even we have a sin nature after we're saved. And there's that struggle that goes on inside, isn't there? It seems to me that we far too often fail to see or understand the depths of our sin nature and its pervasiveness in our lives. So the two categories of sins that are in verse 19 are this. Number one, sins of commission. He says, the evil which I would not, that I do. See the word do? That's a commission. And then the second category of sins are called sins of omission, where he says, the good that I would, I do not. That's when we should, but we don't. So one sin is when we shouldn't and we do, and the other sin is when we should and we don't. One we commit, the other one we omit. God hates all sin, whether of commission, the doing kind, or of omission, the not doing kind. Sin is a destroyer and brings forth death. James chapter 1, verse 14, it says this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. How often sin has been the death of some ministry, some marriage, some friendship, some testimony, some witness, some occupation, or some other relationship or endeavor cannot be tallied. Sin hinders our fellowship with God. And sin hinders our prayers. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So let's look at a little bit closer this morning that we may gain some understanding and thereby secure a degree of victory in our Christian lives. The first thing we want to look at this morning is found in Romans chapter 7, verse 19, the second half of the verse, and it is, number one, the sins of commission. Let's read that second half of the verse. Chapter 7, verse 19, he says, "But the evil which I would not, that I do." So Paul is saying, you know, I find in my life as a believer, there's some things I don't want to do, but I do them anyway. Or things I know I shouldn't do, and I do them anyway. These are, of course, the sins which we commit. These are the sins we do. These are the sins we take part in. And some of these sins are listed in Galatians chapter 5, where the Bible says, "Now the works of the flesh," and when that word flesh here is being used of our sinful nature, "the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." The key is on such like, isn't it? In other words, he said, I'm not giving you a complete list of sins. We would have volume after volume after volume if we were going to list every sin that man can get involved in, and then would have to keep adding volumes because man is always coming up with new ways to sin. There's ways to sin today that the generation previous had no opportunity to get involved in because they didn't exist. Those words and actions and thoughts that are similar in nature to that list in Galatians chapter 5. There are even sins of the heart and mind. As the Lord told us in Matthew 5:28, he said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already," where? In his heart. So God says, listen, you have sins of commission that don't only take place out here, they take place in here, and they take place in here. We commit those sins when we allow that evil thought, when we have that evil desire. David mentions such sin in Psalm 19, verse 13, when he writes this, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." Presumptuous sins. Now that word presumptuous in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word zayd. It means arrogant, proud, mocking, and haughty. Those sins that we commit in our arrogance, in our pride, in our haughtiness. The word haughty in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." 2 Samuel 22:28. Listen what God says. "And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down." What goes before destruction? A haughty spirit. What goes before a fall? Pride. What does God say he does for those who are afflicted? He'll save them. In other words, he'll help them. What does he do with those people who are haughty in their spirit? He brings them down. The Bible says God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Presumptuous sins are sins of pride. Sins that we do because we want to and we will. That's a presumptuous sin. That's an arrogant sin. That's a haughty, proud sin, because we're saying to God, I know I'm not allowed to do this. I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm doing it anyway. Why? Because I want to. I don't care what you have to say about it. I'm going to do it anyway. You're just inviting God to bring you down. You understand? You don't get up in God's face and start telling God what you're going to do and who you are. Because he's God. All he has to do is go, and away you go. We know they're wrong, but we care more for the pleasure of the sin than we do for the person of Christ, at least at that moment. And then this word mocking is another synonym for presumptuous. And I read in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin mocks God's authority. And sin mocks God's position. And sin mocks God's person. And it will bring about bitter fruit. God said, I will not be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. Oh, it may take a while, but it's coming. Why? Because it's a presumptuous sin. Why? Because it's a haughty sin. It's a proud, arrogant, mocking God. Oh, yeah, well, we'll see about what God does. The word presumptuous in the New Testament is the word tolaites. It means daring. Wow. Daring God to do something about it, because I'm going to do it anyway. It means audacious. It means impudent. It means insolent, brazen, cocky, defiant. Now, you can get cocky with me, but don't get cocky with God. How about that synonym impudent in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7? But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. I want you to hear that again. He says to his prophet Ezekiel, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. So let's bring that forward into New Testament times. You know why people don't listen to preachers? Because they don't want to listen to God. That's why. And then he says this, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. You see, this presumptuous sin, this daring, audacious sin, this impudent sin, this sin of commission comes from a hard heart. How can we go and sin with a high hand against God and have a soft heart at the same time? You see? It's when our hearts are hard. And the Holy Spirit of God's trying to speak to us, and we don't want to hear it. Our heart is too hard. Why? Because we want to have this sin. We're going to do this sin. We're going to commit this sin. Why? Because we want to, and we will. Sins of commission are premeditated and presumptuous and are indulged in with a high hand, whether we wish to admit it or not. They are the result of our own self-will rising up against the will of God. They are the product of our will working in concert with our sinful nature. They are the product of our world, of our own will as opposed to God's will, and they wreak havoc in our spiritual life, in our personal life, and in our public life. And sometimes we compound our sins of commission by trying to trivialize them. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a sin. Oh, or we try to rationalize them. It's not really sin. I mean, then we try to justify them. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, I know so-and-so, and they're Christians, and they do it. See? Why? Why do we do that? Because in our flesh we enjoy our sin. You see, there are sins of commission, the sins that we do. But then there's a second sin. It's in Romans chapter 7, verse 19, verse 19, part A, and it is the sins of omission. Look what he says, for the good that I would, I do not. For the good that I would, I do not. Now, Paul says that there are some things that we should do, but we don't do them. And it's just as wrong as the things we shouldn't do and we do do. The problem is we are always concentrating on the sins of commission, right? And we think, boy, if I can get those sins of commissions all nailed down and I can get those sins of commission out of my life and I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that and I'm not going there and I'm not going here and I'm not saying that and I'm not watching that and I'm not listening to that, I'm good. You're half good. The problem is we concentrate on that and we neglect or ignore or fail to see that we've got other sins in our life, which are the sins of omission, the things we should be doing but we're not doing. Those are easy to overlook. We get so proud that we do not do this and that that we forget about the stuff we're not doing that we're supposed to do. We think that because we have so many sins of commission under control, we're okay. Paul is saying here that there are good things that are part of the will of God for us to do, and that they're just as important as the things that God has told us not to do. Paul admits that there were some things that he failed to do, and thereby sinned against God. By omission. You know what this word omission means? Any lack of conformity to God's word. Ouch. Well, we just all got caught, didn't we? James put it this way. Now, I want you to listen very closely to this. James put it this way in chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want to hear that again. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is an oversight. To him it's a sin. That's what God said, right? Now, when we read that verse, we read the other verses, Galatians chapter 5, all the works of the flesh, and we go, sin. We come to the, and he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. No, it's just as bad, it's just as wicked, it's just as evil. A sin of omission is just as evil in the sight of God as a sin of commission. Why? Because God hates all sin. We know we should read our Bibles, but we don't. We know that we should pray, but we don't. We know we should go to church, and we don't. We know that we should be out on visitation, but we don't. We know that we should tithe, but we don't. It's sin. Why? Because you know it's the right thing to do and you're not doing it. You know it's what God wants you to do and you don't do it. And God said, I told you to do it. And if you don't do it after I told you to do it, that's disobedience, that's rebellion, that's sin. We know that we should be involved in faith promise giving, but we don't. We know that we should forgive someone, but we don't. We know that we should witness to someone, but we don't. We know that we should serve the Lord, but we don't. We know that we should be long-suffering, but we don't. We know that we should fulfill the one another verses in the New Testament, but we don't. And you know what it is? It's sin. You can call it what you want. You can candy coat it. You can do whatever you want with it, but the Bible says it's sin. For him to know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is S-I-N, sin. Listen to the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 47. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Jesus is saying, the guy knew what the Lord wanted him to do, and he didn't do it. So what's he worthy of? Discipline. chastening, stripes. Christian, I'm just going to say this. You may be getting some stripes, and you're wondering why. It might be because you know what to do, and you don't do it. You know what God said for you to do, and you just won't do it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Here's an illustration. Luke chapter 10. An illustration of sin of omission. Luke chapter 10, look at verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Was that the right thing to do? And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up the wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You see, there were two fellows came down, and they saw the poor man laying there, and they knew. They should have had compassion. They knew the right thing, the good thing, would have been to go over and help this man. But they passed over on the other side. And here, and they were, that was the priest and the Levite. Those were the religious people. They're the Christians, so to speak. They're the ones that should have done something. And then he said the Samaritan came by. Now, the Samaritans were people who were hated of the Jews. They were considered dogs. They were considered, you know, unsaved. Heathen. They come, that Samaritan comes by, and he, whoa, look at that. And he goes over, and he helps the man, and he takes the man to the inn, and he ministers to him all night, and then he pays the guy that owns the inn and says, here, take care of him, and if anything else costs any more, I'll take care of it on the way home. Which one did right? The one who knew to do right and did it. The two who came by, and they knew to do right and didn't do right, to them it was sin. The sin of omission is the sin of things left undone. The sin of omission is the sin of things left undone. The sins of omission have a way of making themselves known eventually. You know what it says in Numbers 32, verse 23? This is what you remember that verse. Be sure your sin will find you out, right? But listen to the whole verse. Listen to what it says. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and your sin will find you out. You know what God's saying there? He said, when I tell you to do something, and you don't do it, you're sinning against me, it'll find you out. It'll discover itself. It'll come up to the surface. Sooner or later, it's going to have its fruit in your life. You can put it off, and you can keep doing it, but sooner or later, it's coming out. It's going to hunt you. It's going to follow you. It's going to track you down. It'll find you out. Why? Because I told you not to, and you did, or I told you to, and you didn't. Remember, God's not mocked. No one else may know, but God knows. In most of our lives, the sins of omission far outnumber the sins of commission in our Christian lives. And let me say, sometimes we can be the more spiritual. We get all the sins of commission down, but we don't have the sins of omission taken care of. But all disobedience is rebellion and sin. The good that I would do but don't is just as evil as and wicked and sinful in God's eyes as the evil which I would not and do. God hates all sin, whether committed or omitted. Now think about that just for a second, how sinful we are. Friends, we're sinful through and through. You understand that? We can sin by doing and we can sin by not doing. I don't think sometimes it registers to us how sinful we are as human beings before a holy and righteous God. We're actually worse than we know. We're actually worse than we can imagine. But I want to get to point number three. Because right now, you've got sins of commission you're thinking about. And right now, you've got sins of omission you're thinking about. But I want to take you to point number three. It's in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. We have the sins of commission, we have the sins of omission, and then we have the son of remission. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 28. The Lord Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins." Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember over there in Romans chapter 7, and Paul was saying, you know, I've got these sins of commission, the things that I would not, that I do, and I've got these sins of omission, the things that I would, that do I not. So he says, oh, wretched man, what am I going to do? I'm having sins of commission, I'm having sins of omission. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And look what he says. In verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He's saying, I thank God for Jesus because in Jesus I have remission of sin. What does that word remission mean? It is the Greek word aphaes. It means freedom. It means pardon. It means forgiveness. He's saying, oh, wretched man that I am, but I thank God for Jesus, I have forgiveness. Oh, wretched man that I am, but I thank God because in Jesus I've been pardoned. He's not making excuses for his sins of commission or his sins of omission. He's just saying, I thank God I have a Savior, I have a Messiah, I have a Jesus that is my Savior and forgives me for my sins. This word remission has a synonym freedom. Listen to Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. John said, If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We're free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? Ezekiel tells us this is the law of sin and death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the law of sin and death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What's Romans 3:23 tell us? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we deserve to die, and that's why we deserve to spend eternity in the lake of fire, which the Bible calls the second death. Why? Because of our sin. If nothing's done about our sin, then our just penalty is to die and spend eternity in a lake of fire. Aren't you glad Jesus came to pay for our sin? Now here we are. We're Christians. We've been saved. Our sin debt has been paid. David wrote, when it comes to this idea of remission, it has the synonym of pardon. David wrote this, Psalm 25:11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. You know what David did? David went before God and said, Lord, pardon my sin. Pardon my iniquities. Why? Because they're great. Remember, I've told you 100 times, when you go to bed at night and you're getting ready to pray before you go to sleep, and you should do that. If you're not doing that, it's sin. for him to know to do good and do it not. At the end of the day, you ought to spend a moment with the Lord and talk to him. It'd be a good idea to thank him for the day. It'd be a good idea to thank him for your blessings and for the provision and protection, right? It'd be nice to thank him for that nice warm home you're in and that nice comfortable bed you're sleeping in and the covers you have to pull over your body. It's nice to thank him for that. And then you can tell him what a sinner you are. He already knows. You can say to him, Lord, pardon me for my sins, for they are great. And if you can say, I can't think of any. I've been thinking, I can't think of any sins I did today. You got them. They just didn't register on your scale. David said, cleanse thou me from my secret faults. And here's that word, forgiveness. Colossians 1:14. Talking about Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So what do we do as Christians? We've been saved. The sin penalty's been paid. But I, as a believer, have a sin nature. And if I'm not filled with the Spirit, I'm going to commit sins and I'm going to have sins of omission. God's made a provision for our sin in the Lord Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means satisfactory payment. You see, you can't undo sin with good deeds. That's not satisfactory. You can't pay for your sin with good deeds or religious activities. You can't pay for your sins with money. The only satisfactory payment for sin is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So he's the propitiation for our sins. So God says, listen, child, I don't want you to ever commit a sin. I don't want you to ever have a sin of omission. But when you do, just remember you have a Savior who's Jesus Christ the Lord, and he made a satisfactory payment. So when we're guilty of sins of commission or sins of omission, we have several things that God has given to help us. Number one, his word. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Did you hear what he said there? He said that when you're in the Bible and you're reading the Bible, it's like looking in a mirror. God has given us his word, so when we look in it, we see our sins of commission and we see our sins of omission. They're all over our face. We just can't see them. But when we look in the Bible, in this mirror of the word of God, boom, we see it. Praise God for that. The next thing he gives us that helps us with these sins of omission and commission is prayer. Now, let's go back to the word just for a second. What did David say? He said, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. You see, it's a preventive, isn't it? So he's given us his word. Next, he's given us prayer. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. That means when I know that I've had a sin of commission and I know that I've had a sin of omission, I can go to the Lord and I can confess it to him and own up to it with him, and he'll forgive me and cleanse me and wash it away. How can he do that? Because of the provision of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not a license to sin. That doesn't mean we say, hey, well, all I got to do is at the end of the day just go and tell him about it and he'll forgive it. So I might as well do it. That's mocking God, you see. It's not there as an excuse to sin. It's there for a provision when you do sin. And not only do we have the word and prayer, but we have the church. Psalm 73:2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And then in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. So what's the psalmist saying? He's saying, I was in a bad way. I was backslidden. But you know, and I was almost ready to quit. I was ready to give it up. And what happened? I went to church. What happened when he went to church? He heard the word of God. He heard the preaching of the word of God. And God opened his eyes. Sometimes you'll come to church and the Lord, in his gracious kindness, will show you your sin and your shortcomings. Sometimes when you come to church, God's going to take a message and slap you in the face with it. He's going to step on your toes with it. But he's doing that to help you. We see things and understand things in church we just don't get anywhere else. I want you to hear two verses. Notice these two verses. In 2 Timothy 3:13, the Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Did you get that trend? So God says, you know, in the last days, there's going to be evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. That means they're getting worse and worse and more. So you know what God said to do in Hebrews 10:25? "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." He said, you know what? Evil men and seducers are getting worse and worse and more. So you know what you Christians should do? You should go to church more and more. Why? Because it's there. It's a provision for you so that you won't get caught up in all the stuff that the evil men and seducers are doing and trying to get you to do. God's provided his word to show us our sins of omission and commission. He's provided prayer as a means to have our sins of omission and commission cleansed and washed away. And he's provided the church to instruct us and challenge us and convict us and change us by the preaching of the word of God. You see how good God is? Praise God for the saving power and the keeping power and the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. If we're going to be victorious and vital in the 21st century for Christ, we must be sensitive to our sin. Because it separates between us and our God, and he will not hear our prayers. We need to be sensitive to our sins of commission, our sins of omission, and early and quickly bring them to the Son of remission. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.